You are Locked On Eagles, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in, welcome in, welcome in. It's Locked On Eagles with your hosts, Louis DiBiase and Gino Camilleri, coming to you on this Victory Monday. That's right, I did not expect today of all weeks to be a victory week with a Victory Monday against the LA Rams. The Eagles go in to the LA Coliseum and beat the 11-2 Rams, a team that a lot of people are picking to go all the way this year. Sean McVay is the poster child of the NFL this year. Jared Goff talked up. Nick Foles and the Eagles go in there. A tough road environment. You know, not fan-wise, because the Eagles fans, shout out to you guys taking over that stadium, but a tough
Lincoln
environment.
Lincoln Financial West, baby.
Yeah, that's exactly 100%. But a tough environment when it comes to the team and just the stakes on the line. At 6-7, the Eagles had to win that game to stay in the playoff hunt, and they did it. And it's unbelievable, Gino, because look, after last week, I thought it was all over. If you listen to the recap show last Sunday night, it was all doom and gloom because I really felt like the Eagles had to win the NFC East to get into the playoffs. But the way the Panthers are playing, the way the Vikings are playing, getting that win against the Rams changed everything. And I'm so glad they won, man, because a lot of the Eagles, we've seen so many Eagles-Rams comparisons with McVay versus Doug and Wentz versus Goff and Fletcher Cox and Aaron Donald. And I'm watching early, man, just watching and hoping for a close game, just a close game, because these were supposed to be two juggernauts last offseason that we were talking about. The Eagles weren't supposed to be severe underdogs against the Rams, even on the road. And there's something about this team, when they are absolutely counted out, they always step up.
Absolutely, man. I think back to that 2015 Patriots game. That's what it was.
Something
in
about
a nutshell.
Wearing white on white on the road with Sam Bradford then and Nick Foles now. Something about those jerseys in that environment where the Eagles just come through.
Yeah, it's the crazy thing about being more than 10-point underdogs in NFL games. It just doesn't happen anymore. And it's like the old adage goes, any given Sunday. And they played the game. They came out there in what should have been a Carson Wentz revenge game. But still, they were playing for 11. Wendell Smallwood said it last night that everybody was coming out playing with emotion for Carson Wentz, because you hear it in all their voice of how much like he means to them. Like Fletcher Cox, after the game when he was interviewed by NBC, they're like, man, you know Carson's going through a lot. He would have loved to be out here. Like, they're a brotherhood. Everybody in that organization, everybody in that locker room, they play for one another. And you know when they played best? When the hungry dogs run faster.
Yep.
They had not the dog masks, but the ski masks on last night and pulled a Hollywood heist.
I love the ski mask, man.
It was so exciting.
It gives that defense such a chip, and they've already gone through so much when it comes to injuries. And like, this is the defense that yesterday I was just so stinking proud of, like the fight in those guys to last week play basically two games worth of snaps, right? Didn't Jenkins and Fletcher Cox both play over 100 snaps against Dallas? So you have that. They have to fly across the country, play a Rams offense that, again, people drool over, and they hold them to 23 points. I mean, that shout out to Jim Schwartz. I get after him a lot of the time just because our philosophies on defense, I guess, differ. I'm just not – sometimes the soft coverage, the lack of aggressiveness kind of gets to me. But he grew yesterday. He brought the pressure at the perfect time. He kind of did the whole third and long picket fence defense to make that stop to win the game. But he brought six on the blitz, and he brought the pressure at the perfect time. He wasn't doing it that drive or really that fourth quarter. I'm thinking to myself, you even saw me tweet it out, the magic number 17. Here comes another 17-point lead blown in the fourth quarter, but not this time. He learned that Eagles defense held, and just with so many injuries to deal with, the fact that they had that butt-whooping they put on Sean McVay and Jared Goff was awesome.
Yeah, a couple things to break down there. First off, Carson Wentz over Jared Goff. Every single day of the week. It's not even a comparison. You can definitely see when that system isn't going, Jared Goff isn't going to do much to pick it up. Yes, he had a down game. He still is a...
Look,
yeah,
I'm not,
right? Exactly.
I'm not someone that thinks Jared Goff's just a system quarterback. We talked about it this week on the podcast. But, man, I would really like to see Nate Sudfeld and see what he could do in that offense, or Nick Foles.
I've heard a lot of people, not like little Twitter trolls, but like decently like recognizable people say that maybe trading Jared Goff could be a move that they do to try and bring in somebody else to plug into
that's
that system.
Nuts.
Because, I mean, if Yeah, it's completely nuts, but think about it. If he thinks his system can excel, much like Chip Kelly did, maybe you take a shot. But we're not talking about the Rams. We're talking about the Eagles, still the world champs until otherwise. We still are alive in the playoffs. But, man, I don't know what got into Jim Schwartz last night. I don't know what he was eating, if he channeled his inner Jim Johnson, because that was the perfectly called game outside of a couple of late-game blunders. But, man, the blitzes he dialed up in certain situations, you knew Fletcher Cox had to have a career night with a guy on the other side of the football that you knew was going to come out and that they put on a chain pretty much. Aaron Donald didn't do much, but Fletcher Cox looked like a man possessed. Avante Maddox, who would have ever thought a fourth-round cornerback was the savior for this defense?
Seriously.
Cravon LeBronc, coming off the street, don't even know where he was 2 months ago, is coming up and making unbelievable tackles. And Rasul Douglas, Mingya, line him up at linebacker with 11 total tackles. That's ridiculous for a cornerback.
Most tackles for a corner, according to Ruben Frank, most tackles for, I think, a corner since Troy Vincent in 1999 for the Eagles with 13. He had 11 tackles yesterday. I mean, my brand, Gino, my brand.
I know, man. You were loving it. It kind of stinks that Sidney Jones is out, but whatever gets the job done, and that's what they did. I mean, I was scared to death of Brandon Cooks. They did a very good job containing him. When you hear Everett's name being called the most out of all the weapons on the Rams, you knew you're doing good things. I mean, Todd Gurley, he would hit the second level, and in situations in the past couple weeks when running backs got to the second level, you'd see a lot of missed tackles. Not yesterday, man. They were tackling. They were forcing turnovers. They were blitzing at the right time. Their coverage was on point. Avante Maddox, I'm going to gush over that kid for so long because he's just so good at every single position he's out.
I was
going to
say,
I
don't know where he's going to play next year, but he's going to start at some position for the Eagles next year. I don't know if it's a slot or if it's safety, maybe replacing McLeod. I don't know if he maybe instills confidence in the Eagles that they can get that cap relief from getting rid of McLeod. I don't know if they're going to do it, but maybe even on the outside, like you said, I mean, he's played in the slot on the outside at safety this year, and he's made plays at all three positions.
Yeah, and it's kind of crazy to think about, because just think, if they can get McLeod back next year or even draft a top-end safety, they still have so much depth at that corner position. I mean, you're still going to have Jalen Mills. Even if Darby walks, you're still going to have Jalen Mills, you're going to have Avante Maddox, you're going to have Rasul Douglas, and you're going to have Sidney Jones. That's four top-quality cornerbacks. And in a deep class, maybe they bring in another one. Who knows? But still, I loved how they played yesterday. They deployed them great. And ignore what Troy Aikman said last week that Rasul Douglas couldn't tackle. And listen to what Chris Collinsworth says, as much as it is crazy to say.
That sounds painful,
He always says you have to be able to tackle in Jim Schwartz's defense. And I think that is one of the truer sentiments to come out of yesterday's game, because he trusts his guys on those islands. And if you can't tackle, I mean, you saw what happened to Sidney Jones last week. He couldn't tackle on the edge, and they got killed. But if you could come up and have 11 tackles out of Rasul Douglas, 6 tackles out of Cravon LeBlanc, and 3 tackles out of Avante Maddox,
and Maddox,
20 tackles from
Maddox
your cornerbacks, man,
Maddox
damn,
had the biggest,
that's impressive.
Yeah, Maddox had the biggest tackle, too, probably, of all of them, keeping Todd Gurley in bounds on that second-last play where he got Gurley down, just a textbook wrap-up. I mean, Douglas, people getting on him for tackling because of that one bad Cowboys game, I'll never understand, because I feel like that's really been one of his strong suits, has been closing in on receivers and making big hits, especially low. I feel like he makes the same big hit every game where there's a screen on his side, he sheds a block and hits him in the legs and brings him down. But Maddox, too, a smaller, more athletic secondary player, he's got boom sauce, dude.
Dude, he's
is that allowed? Am I allowed to say boom
people.
Sauce?
Yeah, whatever you want, man. Whatever you want to, whatever adjective you want to stick on him, because he's great. When I was at Philly Sports Network, out in London where Liam was, it was pretty late when they drafted him, and he's like, "Can somebody please get me the report on him?" So I had to go in and I got the report for him that he wrote. And the one thing that he wrote that he put in all caps, I'm pretty sure, was he hits like a truck coming downhill, and you could see that. Every single week. He's not scared at 5'9" to hit massive players. He was all over the field. And the thing is, yes, he's at the corner position, and yes, he's played safety, but Jim always says that they train these guys at both positions, and you could see that with how well these guys come downhill. Both Rasul Douglas, Craven LeBlanc and Avante Maddox. You see how imperative for these guys to click and close coming downhill, secure the tackle, and not let them get to the second level, because you know how deadly it can be, as we saw against the Cowboys. And they did exactly that in a high-potent offense like the Rams that needs those type of plays to get going, and they didn't do that. They played that bend but not break. They played cover three and a lot of quarters coverage, and it worked for them. I mean, Jim called it to a T, and also helps when you're getting so much penetration up front from Fletcher Cox and Michael Bennett once again.
No double team can stop Fletcher Cox.
Dude, I was waiting for that career game, and yesterday was a game. I was in heaven. The guy went to the freaking locker room, comes out and dominates the freaking game. Can you believe that? That was so surreal.
He's got 7.5 sacks now. I mean, I can't believe how good. Aaron Donald gets all the publicity. He gets more sacks. But Fletcher Cox yesterday was the better defensive tackle.
100%, man. And it does help that he plays in that 4-3. You're going to get a lot of noise on Aaron Donald, a lot of double teams, which you saw yesterday in
that
3-4 front.
They don't put Cox on the – I mean, Aaron Donald gets a lot of snaps on the edge too, which I feel like if Cox was on the edge, he could – first off, I mean, they're going to still double team him, but he could have more opportunities that way to finish sacks too, and the Eagles just don't use him that way. So that's another place that – the Rams utilize Donald, the Eagles don't utilize Cox, and he still has 7.5 sacks.
Yeah, it's great. He's only two away from his career high. But, man, the thing I think about is, what could this defense do if they were 100% healthy? Like, they just went in there in enemy territory. Not really. It's Lincoln Financial West, as people are saying. They went into a road game against the Rams, who were one of the Super Bowl favorites, with a high-powered offense, and absolutely stopped them in their tracks. I mean, when have you seen Jared Goff play like that all season? Like, maybe once or twice?
Yeah, he's been bad the past couple of weeks, but the Eagles dominated him. Some numbers from him I saw. He was 5 of 11 for 63 yards, an interception. He got sacked one time and had a 25.9 QBR on third downs. And when he was pressured yesterday, which is why I liked Wentz over him, because again, Goff, he didn't overcome anything yesterday. When the system was not getting the job done, he faltered. He was 7 of 16 for 52 yards and a pick, a 26.0 QBR when pressured. That's not a guy, I'm sorry, I mean, he's better than most system quarterbacks, but he is still a player to me that cannot overcome when Sean McVay's struggling as a play caller and when that offensive line struggles. It was obvious yesterday, and it was obvious the past 2 weeks, because look, the Eagles, like you said, when they're healthy, it's scary to think about how good they can be, and they for the most part have been an elite defense the past few years with that talent healthy. The Bears last week, another elite defense, did the same thing to Jared Goff. Just when you bring the heat and get after Goff, that's how you win these games. And it was unbelievable. A great effort. I did not think Jim Schwartz was going to outcoach Sean McVay, whose offense, look, I get it. He's been the poster child this year when it comes to head coaches. He won Coach of the Year last year, even though I don't think he should have. But that offense yesterday looked vanilla. It didn't look intimidating at all. It was the same few play-action rollouts with a receiver running a quick out. I mean, it was so predictable, and Rasul Douglas eventually figured it out, and he just kept closing in on that same silly route that they would run. And McVay was terrible, and Goff was terrible. And it was cool, too, because I wrote on LockedOnEagles.com about some of the ugly ducklings of 2018 that stepped up, especially on this defense. Like, you look at Craven LeBlanc, who more so... He hasn't played bad at all this year. He's great depth for next year. I can't believe they found him as well. Howie's been doing a good job finding some gems in the secondary, but he kind of represents he's kind of the face of the injuries that the Eagles have had in the secondary. And then you have a guy like Trey Sullivan coming a long way from that silly mistake on special teams week one against Atlanta. Remember where he touched the football and Atlanta got the ball? He's come a long way from that. And then he makes the game-winning play essentially on special teams. Yeah, it did get him cut. That's right. And then Corey Graham, a dude that me and you have been after for pretty much the entire season. He's got back-to-back weeks now with interceptions, and that interception
fall right into
yesterday,
his lap.
Yeah, I know, but like still, I mean, he's making plays. So, and again, yeah, Corey Graham, not as much as the other guys, but it was just cool to see all these players that we've gotten on this year, and rightfully so, but you saw them all make plays, and turnovers was huge. Back-to-back weeks now, this defense is getting turnovers. I think it's too because they want to wear those ski masks, and they have the swagger. They're playing aggressive now, and I was in love with the defensive performance last night.
Yeah, man. I mean, first off, what was Jared Goff doing on that throw? Like, I don't even know what dimension he was in to even attempt that throw to Corey Graham where it landed in his hands. That was ridiculous.
I mean, that's just the thing, though, is like, he can't make – that's a play that Wentz could get up, roll right, and still make a play with. That's not who Goff is, and that's not what I want in a quarterback ever. It's why I would have taken Wentz 10 times out of 10.
Yeah, definitely, and it'll be cool to see them face off going down the road, but we can get in that discussion in the summer of the semantics around that, but – man, in regards to defenses with schemes, I always think that even if you don't have the best talent, if you have a good scheme and call a good game, defense can overcome. And I think that's what you saw yesterday. You're down to what, your third, fourth, and fifth defensive tackles, cornerbacks. Man, you're digging into the guys you just picked up off the street who had a good spider chart that could close on at the nickel corner position, and Craven LeBlanc is exactly what he was. He's an athletic freak. He played a great game. But, man, these guys played for each other. They got that swagger back. They were flying around to the football. And we have not tipped our caps to Malcolm Jenkins yet, but once again on the first play of the game, he came out and he just set the tone. Like last week against Dallas, he comes out, forces the fumble. This week he comes up and hits Todd Gurley in the mouth. Man, he is one of the most just underappreciated Eagles of all time.
Like, and honestly, he's one of the more underrated players in the NFL in general.
Absolutely.
When you talk about top safeties, he should be, if not one of the first or second name, he is top three, top five.
Yeah, last year when we were playing that Minnesota game, all the talk was on Harrison Smith and I'm drawing a blank on the other guy.
Thomas, I mean, Eric Berry.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You just don't hear Malcolm Jenkins isn't one of the household names you know.
Exactly, and they all get disrespected, and I think that's what it is. Like, he sees the disrespect in regards to other safeties. Fletcher Cox is disrespected in the defensive tackle category. The defense isn't talked about with one of the top defenses as they were last year. These guys take it personal, man. Like, they're professionals. They take pride in their craft, and when you have leaders that thank God they're signed for the next couple years, and like Fletcher Cox and Malcolm Jenkins, when you have those guys, you're going to be set, because it doesn't matter who you are. If you're a Craven LeBlanc that just came off the street, or you're a Rasul Douglas who's struggled to get playing time, you see how these guys are playing, you're like, man, I'm going to make a play now too. Like, everybody's going to go out there and make a play. Everybody was contributing. Like, look at, let's just list the guys who made tackles yesterday. Rasul Douglas, Malcolm Jenkins, Nigel Bradham, Craven LeBlanc, Vontae Maddox, Fletcher Cox, Camus, Nate Geary, Corey Graham, Trey Sullivan, Haloti Ngata, DeAndre Hall. Like, these guys are all making tackles. Like, they're making plays. Sorry, he didn't have a tackle, but
he had a big special teams tackle, though, that pinned the Rams back at like the 10-yard line when they were trying to tie up the game. So Hall actually made a big play too.
Yeah, exactly, and that's the type of football this team played last year. It's like, yes, they might not be the best team. Yes, they might be the underdog, but if you disrespect them, they're going to come out and show you that there's no reason for them to be disrespected, and they know they have one of the better rosters in the NFL. I mean, on paper right now, I'm still taking this roster over about probably 75% of the teams in the league.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think yesterday was closer to what this Eagles team really is than what it's been so far this season. Let's take a quick break here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. When we come back, me and Gino, we're going to flip the script now. Got to talk some offense. We're going to get into the quarterback. I thought the play calling was masterful. Alshon Jeffrey, a big game, 160 yards on the day. So we're going to get into the offensive side of the big 30-23 upset in L.A., the Eagles over the Rams. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast, sponsored by MyBookie. Guys, whether you're a rookie or an expert, you should be betting at MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, like playing the numbers on roulette, you can create a big parlay, pick three teams to win, and if you hit all three, you can turn $100 into $600. There's so much to bet on. College basketball and football, you got the NBA, NHL, custom props, even esports, you name it. MyBookie is the one bet I know you'll be happy with all year. I recommend these guys because we really trust them here at Locked On Eagles. MyBookie has been in business for years. They've got great online reviews, and their mobile site is extremely easy to use. Sign up this week, and MyBookie will give you a 50% deposit bonus to jumpstart your bankroll. It's a great way to bank even more money when you win. Also, make sure to follow at BetMyBookie on Twitter. They personally respond to every mention and DM, not to mention that they've been giving away more than $10,000 in free money to their followers this football season. You'll be the first to know as soon as new odds and props are posted. Don't miss out on one of the best weeks to bet on sports this year. Log on to MyBookie right now and use the promo code LOCKEDON 25 and get 50% deposit bonus. That's promo code LOCKEDON25. You play, you win, and you get paid. We thank MyBookie for sponsoring the Locked On Eagles podcast today. All right, everybody, welcome back to Locked On Eagles, recapping last night's incredible win over the Los Angeles Rams, 30-23. Gino, I don't know how many people picked the Eagles, but I only saw Tony Dungy, and it was, again, just the typical underdog story that this Eagles team just loves to have. They love being counted out, and it's really where they step up. I mean, again, you have Nick Foles starting, you're wearing white on white, no one's taking you, the season's on the line. I mean, if that's not perfectly set up for an Eagles upset, I don't know what is.
Yeah, Tony Dungy's been pretty spot on with his upset picks this year. He always likes to go against the grain, but he said it before the game, the Rams can get gashed on the ground, and what do? They scored 3 rushing touchdowns, something they haven't done in how many years? Like, you can't even remember the last time they did something as great as that. But the offense, it looked good. I liked what I saw to Nick Foles. I didn't think he had a world-beating game. I still don't think he's better than Carson Wentz, but that's not a debate. I like to see my Eagles do well, whoever's at the helm. And they simplified the offense, and it got everybody going. I mean, when they put Wendell Smallwood out there, I was scared to death. Like, I was just
waiting for a fumble.
We finally
have to stand down about him for, like, 1 week. Because he looked, I mean, he averaged 4.8 yards a carry, 2 touchdowns. Like, he had a spark. He was hitting those holes faster. Adams was struggling.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, you just have to get the hot hand, and that's what this is. They don't have a feature back. Like, Josh Adams was never feature back, as much as many people would like to say. You just have to go with the hot hand of the committee, and they found it. It was Wendell Smallwood. All these guys, like I say on past podcasts, they all have a niche role. They found the guy whose niche worked against the Rams' defense. The Rams like to play fast downhill, so you need somebody that could hit a hole fast and get upfield before they can react, and that's exactly what they had in Wendell Smallwood, because Josh Adams wasn't hitting the holes fast enough. They weren't I don't think the runs they were calling for him were the right runs at all. They were calling a lot of inside zone stuff against probably 2 of the best defensive tackles in the league. Probably not the best move, as you saw. So you had to adjust. You went with Wendell Smallwood. You found a lot of balance in that game because you couldn't lean on Nick Foles as much as you could on Carson Wentz. And it opened up the pass game, as you saw. I mean, look at what Alshon did, man. He just continues to make Aqib Talib look like a 6-year-old kid. I mean, last year against the Broncos, he had, what, 6 receptions, 84 yards, average of 14 for 2 touchdowns. He just made Aqib Talib look like a clown yesterday, somebody who's on the decline of their career. Him and Marcus Peters, I don't know what they were doing yesterday, but the Eagles' wide receivers were looking good, man. I really liked what I saw out of them.
Yeah, Carson Wentz, look, the one thing I had a problem with him this year, and I don't know if it had to do with the health, but not going to Alshon Jeffrey enough was something that I've been kind of frustrated with the past few weeks, and it was on full display what he can do. Look, Ertz, he's gotten open this year. He's made big plays for the Eagles' offense, but it's the same types of plays. And the Eagles found different ways to get big chunk yardage yesterday, whether it was one-on-ones where Foles actually puts it up and gives Jeffrey a chance, which is Jeffrey's forte, or it was those bombs down the field, like you said, with 2 verticals. And a lot of that's on the play calling. Not a lot of that was drawn up with Wentz this year, partially probably because of the health. But look, the offense was simpler. And I wrote an article yesterday on LockedOnEagles.com talking about what they need to do with Foles. I felt like I was going to write this article about what they need to do to get Carson Wentz going before they ruled him out on Tuesday. It was get the ball out quick, up tempo, get him moving around in the pocket, RPOs, play action. And that's what they did with Nick Foles. They made it simple for him, and the offense was much more fluid because of it. And just a PSA, though, for you out there that don't like the Wentz-Foles talk, I recommend not listening to local sports radio or national sports media until probably next Sunday, because I listened to some local Philly radio for about 5 minutes on my way home today. I had to turn it off instantly because of some of the calls. But look, hats off to Nick Foles. I mean, the man, I was texting you, I compared him to the Hulk because at times he looks like little Bruce Banner, where in 2014 and 2015, or week 1 and 2 this year, he doesn't look like a quarterback that can start in the NFL. And then suddenly he's the Hulk, where he's beating legendary teams. He has legendary moments. And then he just randomly looks bad at times again. It's just, Nick Foles is one of the most lightning-in-a-bottle quarterbacks I've ever seen. And yesterday was one of those top moments again. And he did it on primetime football, where he's 11-1 now. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah, he comes up in big spots when he's called upon. But the thing is, you can't rely on him for 16 games a year. He's very good in moments that it matters. And the thing that I really get angered with Doug about is that he simplifies the game for Nick, but he doesn't do that with Carson, especially when you knew Carson was hurt. Yeah, oh, 100%. Like, I trust Carson to make adjustments at the line and stuff when he's 100%. But when he's healthy and you know that he has a back injury coming off a major ACL repair and LCL repair, why not simplify it for him? Like, yes, he did target Zach Ertz a lot. I understand that. But he also targeted Alshon a lot. He was right that he was only one less target to Alshon per game than Nick Foles has averaged.
Yeah,
which
no,
is
that's true.
Fitting to narratives that people would like to put out there. But I also think the way he calls plays for Nick Foles is just something that he should do for Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz is excellent outside the pocket. How many design plays did they do to get Carson Wentz outside the pocket this year?
Yeah,
I
they
can
haven't
think of maybe a handful.
I think Washington was really the only game where they did it a whole lot on play action passes. You saw that 35-yard pass from Wentz to Aguilar. But to me, again, it's probably because Wentz is more talented that Doug wants to do more with him. But mm-hmm. like why I more so would just hope that he doesn't have to do it. He doesn't have to keep it simple for four quarters. I'm just more so talking about in the first quarter where they've struggled to get going this year outside of a couple games, including on, you know, yesterday's game against the Rams. They started off fast, and it's because they kept it simple. They got Foles into a rhythm. Foles a rhythm-centric quarterback, and I feel like I'm with you. They should have did that a lot with Wentz because that's a part of the game that they really have not done this year. And the play calling was great. I thought the offensive line was awesome. They held mm-hmm. Aaron Donald to, I think, one QB hit, a couple tackles, and a few pressures. But outside, I mean, Brandon Brooks, Lane Johnson, and Jason Kelce, and even Wiz, they got after Aaron Donald. It's just, it's funny because we should know, Eagles fans of all fans should know what Nick Foles is, that this is what Nick Foles is, that he can be a big-time performer for you in the biggest stages. You look at last year winning the Super Bowl. You look at last night against the Rams. But you should also know, and apparently people are still getting on this about the Foles-Wentz debate, people should know what happens after 2014, right? Mm-hmm. 2015 with the Rams. You look at weeks 1 and 2 this year, and in the preseason, he was bad. He's awesome. I love Nick Foles. I'm not trying to take anything away from him. But yesterday's performance, honestly, it wasn't even one of the better games that an Eagles quarterback has had this year. Carson Wentz, it would have been
the worst quarterback rating out of a quarterback this year for the Eagles.
Right. That's so. And again, I thought he was awesome, especially in the first half. I thought he pushed the ball down the field. But let's put it in perspective. If Carson Wentz had that same performance, he wouldn't have been given the credit so far that Nick Foles has. And again, it's this thing because Nick Foles last year took over and won a Super Bowl. But because you think about it, Nick Foles had one really good half yesterday, and Carson Wentz, for the most part, has had one really good half throughout the season. But no one really got on Foles yesterday like they have for Wentz. To me, it's still so obviously clear. And Doug Peterson today said that when Carson is healthy, he is his quarterback. And I wish people can just enjoy Foles while knowing that Wentz is the better play, and that when he is healthy, he's going to play. I don't know if it's not going to be in the regular season. Foles was already named the starter against the Houston Texans, in case anyone was wondering. Doug Peterson said it today. But if Carson Wentz, if it's not too risky to play him in the playoffs, even if Foles wins these three straight games, I'm still playing Wentz against whoever it is, maybe Chicago, maybe it's LA, maybe it's Dallas.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, don't get me wrong, I love Carson Wentz, but I think the move is to keep him off the field this year. Yes, I would love to see him in the playoffs, but if
I would be so tempted.
I know, but think of it like this. One, he still has the back fracture. Like, that's not going away within the next 2 weeks. Two, if they are going to get in the playoff, Nick Foles is going to have to be hot to finish out 3-0. So think of that.
I mean,
you're not going to take out the hot hand.
What if he does what he did yesterday? For three more games, or for two more games. I mean, I know.
Rely on the defense. That's what it comes down to.
If the stress fracture obviously is something that's very concerning, and I'm okay with Foles playing in the playoffs if it has to come down to that. But it's not like Wentz is a downgrade. I mean, some people are acting like Wentz is some known playoff choker. I mean, I know he hasn't done it in the playoffs, but he also hasn't failed in the playoffs yet. So people act like all the offense is going to go back to Carson Wentz, and suddenly it's going to be just this massive downgrade from Foles. I'm just more saying if it's not too risky to play him in the playoffs, I don't think there's any hesitation to do it. Or else, what are you saying? If you think Wentz can go in the playoffs and you're still starting Foles, I mean, that right there can start stuff. And I don't think the Eagles have that mentality. I think it's really just fans right now. But, yeah, you're right, though. It's the injury. I mean, if they keep him out, it's the only reason to me would be because of injury.
Yeah, I agree 100%. But I'm going to go on record right now. This time next year, Carson Wentz is going to be 15 games into the season. He's going to be completely healthy. He's going to have a good knee. He's going to have a good back. They're going to bring in a running back. They're going to simplify the offense. And he's going to be on pace for another MVP candidate, another MVP run. Nick Foles is going to be on another team. He's going to be maybe a backup, maybe a starter. Who knows? If somebody values him highly after this week.
On the open market, you got Bridgewater and Flacco that are going to be free agents too. I don't even know if he's going to be a starter next year.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, this conversation is going to be irrelevant this time next year.
Yep.
Yes, people might get mad if Carson Wentz has a few bad games. That's sure to happen. But for right now, because we're talking right now, we're living in the present, as everything should be, let's enjoy Nick Foles for what he brings to this offense did for this city. Like, there's no reason to create a divide.
Yeah.
Like, this,
we don't have to
this
hate,
country's
we don't
too
have to
divisive over dumb stuff. Like, this is the dumbest reason to get mad. Like, I love Nick Foles. I loved him back in the day when he went 27-2. When he had that fourth quarter comeback against Tampa when they were 4-12, I was in my dorm room shouting.
Oh,
it was an irrelevant game, but like, we're Eagles fans, man. Like, appreciate this team. Like, we're not wearing Dallas Stars. We're not wearing that ugly blue of the Giants. We're not the Washington R-words, as people like to say. We're the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, no one likes us. We don't care. Like, let's love each other and, like, appreciate this team for what it is. Let's love Nick Foles. Let's love the Ginger Jesus. Let's love Fletcher Cox. Let's love it all, man. Just appreciate it. We have a chance to make the playoffs, something that everybody counted us out 2 weeks ago. They counted us out to win the Super Bowl last year, and look what happened. Like, enjoy football for what it is, because you don't know how many times you're going to get to see another game. So if they go on, great. Like, let it be. But just enjoy this for what it is.
Right. I'm with you. I think that's well said. To me, just don't let the Foles stands. I'm trying not to let them. Like, I'm not going to be one of those people that say Nick Foles cannot make another run into the postseason because it could kill Carson Wentz's confidence and it could start something that maybe the Eagles would actually ever consider making Foles the guy down the road. The only way that would ever be a slight possibility is if he won another Super Bowl. And even then, dude, I still, and this would be very unpopular, because I put up a poll and I think 67% said if Foles did win the Super Bowl, they'd want Foles to still be the guy. But I would still put in Carson Wentz, because it's still the point of Nick Foles is this crazy quarterback that can catch lightning in a bottle, but he also very low lows. And we saw that this season, week 1 and 2, and then yesterday. But still, we're going to enjoy it, and yesterday was awesome. I mean, he was standing in there. That bomb to Alshon Jeffrey, first off, Aguilar, good job by Nelson Aguilar not getting in Alshon's way and letting him bring down that ball, because Aguilar was just as open. But how about Foles standing in the pocket or outside of it at that point? Ndamukong Suh, one of the most, probably one of the scariest defensive linemen in the past decade, he's coming right at you with a clear shot. Foles steps in there and delivers a perfect throw. I mean, that was street ball right there. It was awesome.
Absolutely, man. I mean, the thing that people are saying, oh, if they don't put Carson Wentz back in and he's healthy, like, it'll create a fracture, like, in the locker room. It's completely ridiculous. It's manufactured by the media. Like, pay attention to the guys that are close to the situation. Listen to what comes out of the players' mouths. Like, nobody wants to hear a sports radio talk say, oh, is there a quarterback controversy? Like, no.
Or a head coach literally saying Carson's the guy when he's healthy. I mean, the head coach has already said that every time he has the opportunity. So that's why, to me, again, it's fans thinking that. That's not going to impact the team's decisions, and that's why I'm not really upset about Foles potentially making a playoff run. That sounds crazy to me to even, I mean, the fact that that would upset somebody, it's not going to me, impact the QB situation at all. And that's why I'm good with Foles doing whatever he's going to do this year for us.
Absolutely, man. I mean, look it back to 2006 when McNabb tore his ACL. Jeff Garcia took him to the playoffs.
Ooh, I like this comparison.
Were there talks that Jeff Garcia was going to take over for Donovan McNabb.
No, there was not.
Different scenarios between Carson and Foles, obviously, with the Super Bowl. But still, he's the guy. Everybody in the NFL knows he's the guy. As I prefaced on the last segment, executives around the NFL know that he's going to be the highest paid quarterback when the time comes. You know why? Because people that understand football understand that Carson Wentz is pretty freaking good and that guys of his talent level don't come around every so often. Do you think there's a reason why Nick Foles doesn't have a starting job this year for another team? It's because people in the NFL understand, like you said, he is a lightning in the bottle quarterback.
That also got incredible offensive line play and the best head coaching job we've seen in such a long time.
And a defensive performance we haven't seen all year. So
right.
Yeah,
and I'm talking about last year too. I mean, that's is the thing is, like, this team played because they had to play up to the level they did last night to get that win. Because with Wentz, sometimes they can slack off, and Wentz can still carry them to a win or keep them in a football game. Whereas yesterday, the coaching had to be on, the defense had to be on, and the offensive line had to be on because Nick Foles is not to the talent level of Wentz.
100%, man. And you have to look at everything in context. It's one of the things I've learned since I've been in the scouting academy. Like, we love to tear people down, not just in this organization, but throughout the NFL. Look at what these guys can do. Like, you hear so much about them over targeting Zach Ertz. Does it ever make you think that maybe he's a very good route runner that has elite leverage ability, that has elite catch point skills? Yeah, maybe so. Does Alshon Jeffrey's numbers knock you off the charts? No, but does that still make him a number one receiver in the point that he's elite at the catch point? He can go up and get any jump ball? People don't look at stuff like that. They want to look at the negative, like with Carson Wentz. Like, yes, you look at his injury, but look at everything he can do. Like, stop looking at the negative. I don't know why everybody's so negative about this organization. They have pieces in place for years to come that are going to create a dynasty, man. Like, that's
and
what
if they
it
had
is.
Two more, if they had two more wins, people wouldn't be. I mean, that's the part, is the negativity.
It's recency
bias,
from, man.
Yeah, it's recency bias, and it's coming from people are mad that this Eagles team is 7-7 because that team we saw last night has no business being 7-7. They should be clinched already, and injuries has been a big reason. It's been coaching, it's been age, it's been a lot of different factors, but regardless, again, yesterday, I think the Eagles, that was closer to the real Eagles, what they are and what they're going to be down the road than what they've been for the majority of the season. And one last point before we take our final break, Gino. Doug now is 2-0 against McVay. That's my 2017 Coach of the Year right there.
Yeah, that was a complete sham that he won it last year. Sean McVay, he knows his system does
well. Let's see him get a playoff win, man. I saw that was a vanilla offense yesterday. Let's see him get a playoff win first.
I want you to go back and listen to what I said before the season when we were previewing who was going to make the NFC championship or like who was going to make the playoffs in the NFC.
Where'd you have the Rams finishing?
I had them like third or fourth. I was not as high on them as many people were.
We got the receipts. We'll go back. We'll prop
Marcus Peters, by the way, he freaking stinks.
Did you see him not even trying on the, I think it was the second Smallwood touchdown?
He stinks, man.
Yeah, he was having problems with some fans yesterday. I love the Lincoln Financial West, by the way, that nickname is awesome because the Rams, LA should be embarrassed. They have two of the best teams in the NFL, and they're not supporting either one.
Yeah, money can make you do crazy things, and you know the fans don't support it, but we're the Philadelphia Eagles. We're going to love our team. Our fans travel well, and
yeah,
they listen to us on the Lockdown Eagles Network.
Definitely. Let's take one final break here on Locked On Eagles. When we come back, me and Gino kind of go over what the Eagles have to do. Because, look, we're talking playoffs again. We're back after a one-week hiatus. The Eagles are very much in the hunt. So we're going to kind of break that down, wrapping up the show next. This is Locked On Eagles. All right, everybody, welcome back to the final segment of this Monday, Victory Monday edition, mind you, of the Locked On Eagles podcast. The Eagles now 7-7, Gino. So with that, here's what they need to make the playoffs. So the most realistic scenario is they need to win against Houston next week, which is, I cannot wait for that game. It's going to be a playoff atmosphere at home against a good Texans team right now that if the season ended today, they'd have a bye week actually in the AFC. So the Eagles need those two wins and they need one loss from both Carolina and Minnesota. And the Panthers play tonight in a couple hours against the Saints. And I believe if they lose tonight, they're already at 8 wins, right? Or eight losses?
Yeah, they're 6-7 right
now.
So
we just need them to lose. We just need them to lose tonight, and then we need the Vikings to lose one game between their matchups with Detroit and Chicago. And the Bears are still fighting for a bye week now. They beat the Rams, and they're only, I think, one game back now. So Minnesota losing one more game, too, is very realistic. It's not as realistic as the Panthers losing one more between the Saints, Falcons, and Saints. But, if they win next week, the only thing that's in our way probably of making the playoffs is Josh Johnson in Washington. If Josh Johnson makes the playoffs, that's the Saturday game at 3:30, right? Washington, what is it? Washington, Dallas, or Washington?
No, the three
Chicago?
Would probably be the Bears at this
right,
point.
Or the Bears. So Josh Johnson versus Mitch Trubisky, I wouldn't have said that was going to be a thing in the summer if you asked me. But they can also win, so they can still win the East. We got to be Buccaneer fans this week and then Giants fans, because if the Cowboys lose their next two games, they lost against the Colts. Dak Prescott, once again, looked terrible. I don't know why he gets all the credit he does. He didn't score any points against the Saints in the second half. He was the reason the Eagles were still in that football game last week, and then he kind of laid another goose egg against the Colts. If they lose two more games against Tampa and New York, and we win out, we win the East. So I'm telling you, this is not a team that playoff teams are going to want to have to deal with in the NFC playoff picture. Like, the Eagles, they better hope Josh Johnson gets in. They better hope the Panthers get in or the Vikings, because you don't – I would not want to play this Eagles team that's getting confident.
Yeah, man, as people say, defense travels, and if that defense plays like they did yesterday, they're going to cause problems in the playoffs, much like they did last year. And I like to point out that this season – for whatever reason, parallels that 2008 season so much.
Yeah, it
and
does.
It's just gotten crazier as the season's gone along. And I tweeted last night that in 2008, the Eagles needed a Week 17 loss by the Bears and Bucks to make the playoffs, and they would have to go on to beat Dallas, which they did. 10 years later, the Bucks, along with the Giants, have a chance to beat Dallas to knock them out of the East, and the Bears can beat the Vikings. So two teams we needed to lose 10 years ago can now be our allies and win
Look
these next
that.
2 weeks. It's time is a flat circle. It's funny how things work, but never say never. It's the NFL. We've seen crazier things happen. I mean, look at Seattle and the Rams. A 7-9 team gets into the playoffs and knocks off Drew Brees and the Saints.
Exactly. And we look, this again, like, this is not a team, the Eagles, that are going to go in there and have no shot at being anything more than a one-and-done team. This is a team that can still, I would not be surprised at all if they're playing in the NFC Championship game if they make the playoffs.
I'm 100% with you, man. Anything can happen. This team caught magic. They caught lightning in a bottle with Nick Foles last year. The defense...
And they did it last night, too. I cannot believe that they're in this still.
Nope, never say never. Not until old Fletcher Cox walks off the field and doesn't come back on the field.
I'm with you. Yeah, shout out to Fletcher Cox. Just probably the best player on the field yesterday. And I think, again, the fact that he was out there breaking double teams and going after Goff was unbelievable. And he was a part of a huge 30-23 victory. The Eagles take it over the Rams. Playoff odds now at 36%, ladies and gentlemen. The Eagles are very much alive, and we'll continue to cover it all week long right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. Follow our shows at Locked On Birds, at DiBiase LOE, and at Gino_LOE. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. For my co-host, Gino Camilleri, I'm Lou DiBiase. Until tomorrow, let's go, Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.